You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Luke chapter 2. Boy, this is an interesting time of the year. I love this time of the year, but it can be tricky, right? A lot of folks realize, and I hope you have a great Christmas. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. I hope it's just like the Hallmark movies. And most of us would love for it to be that way. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. But you know what happens? Most of us, grandma got run over by a reindeer. That's the reality of it. And so, look, the Christmas story has not changed in 2,000 years. I can't go through and tell you one thing that you probably don't already know. Even folks that ain't church people know a lot about the Christmas story. I am more concerned about your spiritual and emotional condition this time of year, because I'm telling you, just things some of y'all have seen this past year. A lot of you have gone through some stuff. A lot of you are going to struggle. And so just let me walk you through that. A lot of times Christmas is supposed to be Merry Christmas, but it's messy Christmas for a lot of folks. And so just let me share a few things with you this morning, and I hope you're encouraged by it. I really do. Luke chapter 2, this was such a monumental moment. Read this with me. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in their fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And I heard an interesting statement about this. I can't help it. I'm a teacher. I got to tell you something about that. I heard a pastor that had dug into this, and he said, you know, the birth of Christ was probably more accurate in December than his crucifixion was in, what is it, April? Normally March or April when we celebrate Easter, because they were staying out in the fields. And so even though it was winter, what God did, because God is so cool like this, he providentially held some of the colder weather off so that they could take their sheep out. Why did they need to be out? Because later there would be a star, and it needed to be clear, and it was. So these guys were outside, not in a pen. I'm sorry, I don't speak sheep. If it's cattle, I know where they'd go. So let's go to verse 9. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they wet themselves, basically. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I tell you good news of great joy that will be for everybody. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you. He is the Messiah. Who is the Messiah? The Lord. And this shall be a sign. You ready? He's going to be wrapped tightly in cloth. And that, it's interesting, y'all realize that's the way they did Jesus when he was executed. They wrapped him up, kind of like a mummy. And she had to do this herself. She's 13, 14, maybe 15 years old. So she gives birth, and they would wrap those babies tight. She's pretty tough, which most moms are, but she was tough. Verse 13. And suddenly there were a multitude of heavenly hosts with that angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to the people he favors. This is good news. And what we're supposed to be celebrating in a couple of weeks is good news. It should bring peace to you. It should bring some calm. But to many of you, it's just tough right now. And so I will say this, and I got to tell you again, this is to encourage you. I had a guy, when I did one of these one time, similar to this, I was standing right down there, big old boy. He came up, and he was mad. He said, you know, if you know that some of us are struggling at Christmas, why you won't bring it up and remind us? I think you missed the point. I'm just trying to help you navigate through the not-so-happy holidays for some of you. Christmas can get messy. We understand. There was a Healthline survey a few years ago, and it's really not that different. Millennials, boomers, Gen Xers, they were all about 65 to 70% stressed beyond words. during the Christmas holiday. You know, that a lot of times there's just this huge disconnect between what we see in our culture and what is really happening. Sometimes we expect, you know, the Hallmark Christmas, the serenity, the peace, and the satisfaction, and actually we get a Griswold Christmas. The cards, the songs, I'll be home for Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And listen, at my house, we celebrate Christmas. Honey gets all the kids, the grandkids decorate. Depending on how old they are, sometimes some of them are eating the decorations. But it's fun. It's a great time of the year. I get it. But in reality, where's Cody? Remember when we sang, If We Make It Through December? Yeah, beautiful song. And the truth of the matter is that's where some of you are. You're not sure you're going to be able to buy Christmas. Listen, some of you are not sure some of your relatives are even going to live through Christmas. That's where a lot of people are at. One of the most famous winter songs in my library, because I am a music snob, is Garth Brooks. Remember that song, Wolves? Yeah. If you don't know it, you need to listen to it. Because that's where a lot of folks are at this holiday season. I don't know what about it. You know, it just seems to bring out the heart, the heartache, the wounds. A lot of times there is a, I guess the reason I like Griswold Christmas is because that really is more in line with our Christmas. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But do you remember when we were kids, John, and your parents had to go, you went and cut your Christmas tree. You remember that? And then you brought it home. And then you had to put water in it every day. You know why? It would burn your house down if you didn't put it. And then I kept getting sick every Christmas holiday, every one of them. Turns out I'm allergic to cedar. Have yourself a Merry Christmas. You know, sometimes we do get a Griswold Christmas. Sometimes. Is there a picture for that one? I don't know. Here's the thing. The intake of so much of this fantasy world, Christmas cards, Christmas carols, Facebook posts from other people can create such false expectations. And guys, listen to me. You know who deals with this the worst? Matt, look to your left. Mama does. Studies have shown that women are more likely to get their hopes up to that picture-perfect Christmas than guys are. Duh. Sorry. Woo, Judge just got an elbow from Mama. I walk in and go, I was in there 3 days before I even noticed the tree was up. That's the way we work. It's the way we roll. Holidays oftentimes intensify hollowness. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's a word, but that's what happens sometimes. And let me give you some prime examples. And if you're good, you're going into this, you got all the money in the world, you're healthy as a horse, you hadn't lost anybody, then pray for the rest of us. Because here's what they're really like. Number one, the reason they're messy instead of merry is I just call it the empty chair. I just call it the empty chair. I cannot believe how many people we've lost at Crossbrand this year. It's crazy. How many funerals we've done. How many people in, you know, it's like Brett helped with a funeral with that young man that was killed. He went to Carlisle. Is that right, Brett? Young man that was killed at Carlisle. And I can't imagine that family, Brett, this holiday season. And many of you are out there, too. You know what it's like to roll down Walmart and come up on the gift that you gave last year to that person. And they are no more. They're already in heaven. And I'll tell you this. the first Christmas without my little brother, it about killed me, guys. Now, he had only been gone about 60 days before Christmas, but it about wiped me out. My marriage suffered. My ministry suffered. I just like, stop singing, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." I'm not having a good Christmas. I'm not having a good day. I'm not having a good season. Got a little bit of a rebuke from the general. Do y'all know the general? Miss Linnell, would you please stand up just for a second? I want them to be afraid of you. She runs this whole deal around here. Tells me what to do, and then she can't. Keona comes in here. You know, Keona just towers over me. Fear her. And Keona's about like that little chihuahua. They're all dangerous, every one of them. But you know, the general said something this past Tuesday in staff meeting, and it just kind of held me accountable. I was talking about Christmas and what people are doing, but at the same time, for a lot of people, it's messy Christmas, not Merry Christmas. And she said to me, because she lost Rick, her husband, not very long ago, so this is going to be Miss Linnell's first Christmas without Rick. And you know what she said? It wasn't no tears. She looked at me with a crooked grin and she says, "I have to celebrate the manger and the nativities. Rick is celebrating Jesus in his presence." Wow. And I'd never thought about that. Sometimes it's due to loss. Sometimes it's due to distance. Now, Cody and Vanessa got them a little old Marine. I don't know. I've called her Chavez so long from the movie Young Guns. I don't even remember her name. And I'm pretty respectful now because she's a trained killer. I got to be nice. She's kind of like a chihuahua too, right, Cody? But, you know, so we're going to ship her. So they get a Christmas day with Chavez. And the next day, Cody takes her to the airport. And he'll hold it together. Vanessa will hold it together. But they're going to put that baby on a plane and send her to South Korea for an undetermined amount of time. Yeah, now, guys, if you don't like your kid, you're going, "Yes. South Korea is a good choice." But when you love your babies, when you love your kids, and the thought of them not being there, that empty chair, sometimes it's death, sometimes it's just distance. And then something we all struggle with at some point is money. Some of you have had a bad year. I'm just going to laugh. I looked at the interest on some of our cow notes and land notes the other day. And what is that, AFIB? John, is that what that is? I'm so thankful that the cattle market is high. We didn't make any more money this year than we did last year. Because, finances are tough. You know, for a while, at Crossbrand, we appreciate you givers. But some giving has been down this year, and I understand why. After I went to the grocery store and wanted to choke that lady, because I thought she was making it up, just pulling it out of thin air. And I looked at my ticket, and I thought, wow, job changes, job loss. I tell you, it's something we don't talk about very much around Christmas is shame. I did a series on shame. The thing about shame is sometimes you're just going to deal with personal struggles and sin. We call it your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Some of you, you didn't do anything, but you got shame. Many of you have been victims of abuse. And for some reason, even though it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you are still dealing with that issue. Even though you didn't do it, it was done to you. That's the way shame works. What about this one? I like this one. How about forced family quality time? One of the guys I used to do a lot of business with in the cattle business, he's grumpy. That's what I call him. I can call his place of business, ask anybody there, may I speak with Grumpy? And they go, okay, yeah. They know exactly who I'm talking about. So he had come up the day after Thanksgiving, and we were celebrating with our family. And so he pulled in to look at the cattle. I said, Paul, come up here and just eat with us. I mean, he pulled in right at lunchtime, and he looked right at me. You know, I don't even like my own family. Why would I want to eat with y'all? And of course, then he smelled Honey's chicken fried steak, and he changed his mind. But the point is, that's the way a lot of you feel. Sometimes you are in situations where if it's a blended family or something, you got all these grandparents. You got Cousin Eddie, dadgum shows up. And then you've got this person and that person you've got to please. And when they walk in, it's just tension. And it's messy. It's not merry at all. Holiday stress and messiness sometimes just squeezes the Jesus right out of us. It does. I know. I tell you, my mama's in a home now. I do not like. They've got a room, big room. It's the weirdest thing ever. But she can't come home. She can't walk. It's just not Merry Christmas. And I'm trying to like it. I'm trying to be patient. But it's the weirdest atmosphere. And sometimes it's just messy Christmas and not merry. But let me show you a couple of things. You realize Jesus knows about messy. Now, let me tell you two things. Number one, Jesus was born in a mess. A very messy situation. And by the way, some of you shade trees, there he is, Colin. You realize, I never thought about this. One of the reasons why Mary possibly couldn't find a place to stay, she had a baby bump. I'm talking about this woman is waddling. And I mean no disrespect. You future mamas, when you waddle around, you're the cutest thing that ever crossed my path. And some of you little devils, when that happens, and I go, oh, my goodness, you're the cutest thing. And you go, why? Well, you're. And she goes, what? I am looking for the exit at that point. If she says, I ain't pregnant, oh, man, that's it. It's not like I've done that before. That's like the time I miscommunicated the name at a wedding. It just happened to be her ex-husband. I mean, there's some jackpots you get in, they ain't no way out. You just go, Lord, forgive me. It would be okay if you kill me and took me to heaven right now. It was messy before Jesus even got here. Because one pastor said, this is what I'm talking about, Colin, one pastor said this week, when I was listening to a commentary, this guy's going on to be with the Lord, but he said, you realize, I mean, you some preachers ain't going to want to talk about this, but she may have been rejected because she was pregnant. Why? She wasn't married yet. It was the engagement, and then the angel goes, ta-da, you're pregnant. You're going to have a baby. And can you imagine Joseph? Honey, I mean, I didn't get very far in school, but I think I know where kids come from. But, you know, Joseph was an excellent stepdaddy to Jesus. But when you traveled for that census, more than likely, I never knew this. I never even thought about this. More than likely, when you traveled to your hometown, there would be a distant relative there, and that would be who you'd stay with. So it probably was not an inn. It potentially was a distant family member, a cousin, a great uncle. And when she waddled up to that distant relative's door, it's very possible they just shamed her and said, no, we're not going to do that because you ain't married. But Jesus was born in a mess. It was a mess before he was born. In those days, in Luke chapter 2, again, a decree from Caesar Augustus. Everybody had to be, it was a census that you had to be registered. And in verse 2, the first registration took place while Cyrenius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each in his hometown. So that's how they showed up there. Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because that's who his grandparents were. What's the next one? She was engaged, but she was already pregnant. It's a little different from our deal. They had arranged marriages. Ray, I think that's a great idea, to be honest with you. Now, so far, I would have picked Wrangler for my daughter. Now, my daughter-in-laws, I'm just saying, you're on your own. But, man, they'd already picked, you know, who was going to marry who. And so while they were there, there it was, she was going to have a baby. And she gave birth. Wrapped him tightly in cloth, laid him in a cow trough, basically, because there was no guest room available for them. I will tell you, from experience, can you imagine the context for us? There are some of you that do birth at home. You crazy. And you tough. But you give birth at home, right? And then there's most of you go to the hospital. And most of you look at your husband and say, if you don't get somebody in here and give me some drugs, you're dead. Now, whether you do it at home or whether you do it at the hospital, guys, nothing compared to the birth of Christ. The nastiness. There was no hygiene at all. And she has to birth by herself. It was a mess. But I will tell you this, even though without going on and on and on, because you know the stories about Jesus' birth, I will tell you this, he was born in a mess, from a mess, but you know the second thing? He was born from my mess. He was born from my mess. Our sin, all our shame and guilt that comes with it, because I've told y'all 100 times, just like I tell my kids, tell you 100 times. Dad, you've already told me that. This is 101 then. Shut up and listen. Is that none of us were created to handle sin. Nothing in you. Remember Adam and Eve? It was perfect. Remember Adam and Eve? They were sinless. And so God didn't need anything in there to handle guilt and shame. And man, the first thing that happens is they fall apart right after they sin. Or shame. Matthew chapter 21, she will give birth to a son and you're to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. There is never a big enough mess in your life than what Christ isn't able to cover. Now, I want to show you something. I really like Matt Chandler. He pastors in Dallas. Matt is prolific in every way. But when he was in college, he tells this story. I'll never forget it. When he was in college, he carried a friend to a revival night. Maybe you never even heard that term, some of you youngers, but he carried his friend to a revival. And she was rough. They were just friends. They weren't boyfriend and girlfriend. But she had had an interesting past. I don't know to what extent, but she had had a rough past, especially in relationships and regarding sex. This evangelist that was preaching that night, I am sure he meant well. I'm sure he meant well. But he was teaching on the importance of not having sex before marriage, to abstain. And he gave lots of biblical principles to prove that. And that's good. But his approach in illustrating it went bad quick. He walked over to the pulpit. That's what he was preaching from. Picked out a rose. It was hundreds of kids there, college kids, and he threw that rose. And he said, y'all all just pass it around. Just pass it around. And sure enough, by the time it was passed around and passed around and passed around, the stem had broken off. Most of the petals had fallen off. And he said, listen, that rose, nobody wants it anymore. And that's the same thing, young lady, young man, that your future spouse is going to say about you when you finally decide to get married. Okay, I understand his heart. What he said, let me tell you why. Young lady got sick. Matt had reached out to her. She was sick. Matt found out that she was in the hospital. Matt went to see her in the hospital. And from her hospital bed, she looked at Matt. And she said, Matt, you know my past. Am I that dirty rose? Am I that filthy rose? Is that me? You think Jesus will want me? And Matt looked at her. And he said, sister, that's exactly the person Jesus wants. He wants a dirty rose. He wants you to come to him with your mess. And even though where you're at right now, you may be thinking, I'm hopeless. This is not, I have no hope. Well, that's not true. There's not a sin that Jesus won't forgive if you are still willing. It's not just your sins and saving your soul. It's your burdens. And that's why I wanted to end with this today. Peter knew the power of Jesus. And so one time he said this. He said, cast all your cares on him. Who? Jesus. Why? Because he cares about you. And I'm telling you, the messiness of all this, some of you are not even going to say Merry Christmas. Because you know you're having a messy Christmas. I will tell you today, like Max Lucado says, no person is too hard. No distance is too far. There is no person he cannot reach. There is no limit to his love. When Christ was born, so was our hope. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Christmas. And I get it, Lord. Not everybody's going to have a Merry Christmas. I understand that. It's going to be more messy. But Lord Jesus, you were born from a mess. You were born into a mess. But you were born to save us. And I pray today, if there's someone here that doesn't know that grace, that they'll come down. Let us pray with them. If there's someone here that's tired, they're just weary of carrying that burden, I pray they'll let us pray with them. And Lord, if there's somebody here that says, you know what? I don't know the Lord. Just give them the courage to invite him in right now, right where they're sitting. By saying, Jesus, I'm a mess. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me and please change me. In Christ's name, amen.